Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. Positively getting up on the holiday weekend this weekend. We're going to have no football. We've had our cuts. If you're on the WNST tech service, brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. You got those cuts on Tuesday evening as they happened. And perhaps you'll be joining us on Wednesday at Coco's, where I'll have the final batch of Pressure Lux and Lucky Seven Doublers before we get off into Crab Cake Landia, the Buffalo Bills, the real Crab Cake Tour that happens in the fall, and throw some oysters and probably some beer in there and some purple cheer as well. But in the meantime, there, don't tell anyone, they're still playing baseball. And Luke Jones was down at the ballpark on Tuesday night. The Boston Red Sox in town, and you know, we've talked so much about Kyle Bradish, and he was not the reason they lost or were shut out. He doesn't hit. He's still a pitcher. Luke Jones joins us now. He was at the ballpark. And, you know, I guess this is the end of the busy season for a couple of 5, 10 days, right? Like, to the middle of next week, if anything weird happens over the weekend. But between Ravens cuts and the Orioles, and now Bradish is back, and everybody, Bisaio's not only up, he signed for the next 8 years. So, like, all of we ringing out everything that's going to happen with baseball. The only thing that's going to happen is they're going to play these really meaningless games to all of us. But, like, again, and I said this last week to you, and I'll continue to reiterate, when they can say things like Tony Mancelino is an above 500 manager, he's a 514 manager or whatever it is since he came in, and I look at the team and say, dude, you're the second worst team in the American League, and you haven't been close to 500 since day one. And, you know, I can look at how bad, or we can look at how good it is in a season where Colton Cowser's hitting Mendoza. You know, if he hits 341 in September, you know, it gives us something to talk about. And I guess the Bradish thing really, other than Trevor Rogers and other than the young bats that I'm going to praise Bradish and you are too, but you're pistol pissed about their bats. You hate when they get shut out. That this is the story that we're going to sit here and do the yin and yang, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're at the point where they are right now, which is out of it, you've been sellers. You have a bullpen that's barely recognizable, let alone talking about whether it's good enough, right? I mean, it's obviously not good enough. And to your point that you just mentioned, the offense has been as disappointing as it's been. You're looking for signs for 2026. And obviously here recently, Dylan Beavers and Samuel Basayo being called up, obviously Basayo with the extension. But we've talked a heck of a lot about Kyle Bradish over the last 14 months in terms of missing him, in terms of when he's going to return, in terms of what does he look like when he does return, in terms of how healthy he can stay after Tommy John surgery. And that part of it is still TBD, right? But how he looked on Tuesday night as you're waiting out Ravens roster cuts, or as I was at the ballpark watching him, he looked like Kyle Bradish. I mean, this wasn't John Means where, you know, it looked okay a few starts. Stuff wasn't great, but the results were okay. This wasn't even Felix Bautista where, you know, Bautista never got his velocity back to where it had been. Now, granted, Felix has a higher velocity to attain when you're talking about coming
Most
back.
Most people never get to Nolan Ryan.
Right. You're not talking, you're talking about 102 there, but Kyle Bradish, I mean, he came out throwing 96, you know, I think touched 98 a couple times. Now, it wasn't that the entire time. And let me be clear, his regular average velocity when he was at his best was 95, 96. And he was fantastic. I don't think there was anything you could possibly fathom or anticipate that would be better than what he did. And I get it. He gave up a first pitch home run in the second inning and in the third inning. And he even said after the game, it's a reminder after you've been pitching in the minors for the last month, ramping up, that there are no wasted pitches in the major leagues. So, yeah, I mean, he wants to have those two pitches back. But, I mean, my goodness, his career high, he was one shy of that in strikeouts. He had 10 strikeouts. He didn't walk a single batter. The sinker-slider combination was very Bradish-esque. And
it's striking people out's indicative of good things.
Yeah, I mean, that's That's
Not
ace
that you
stuff.
expect double digit strikeouts
No,
every time
of
out,
course not.
but when you are striking guys out like that, it means that you're doing all the Ray Millers, changing speeds, mixing pitches, fooling people, overpowering people. Even when they guess right, you can beat them.
Yeah, I mean, it was ace stuff, and that's not to say that, oh, the Orioles don't have to do anything this offseason. We know that, and we'll continue to talk about that because the question will be, how many starts can you count on Kyle Bradish? Oh, or the innings, just in terms of coming back from Tommy John and missing a whole year and all of that, can you count on him for more than, I don't know, 150 innings, 160 innings, right? I mean, he's not going to be a guy that you're going to pencil in for 210 innings, as, what counts as a workhorse in 2025, 2026. But the eyeball test, this looked so much like the dominant pitcher that he was two years ago. And even last year when he came back and how well he pitched, knowing that, it probably was a borrowed time kind of proposition. I mean, we talked about that, and go back and look at the starts that he made last year. He was really, really good until the elbow finally went for good against Philadelphia back in last June. So I was very encouraged by what we saw. Six innings, 81 pitches. I mean, we talked about what his workload would be. That was about what I thought, somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 to 80 pitches. And, again, he gave up two home
And
runs.
I said 3-4 innings and 80 pitches
Or
wound up being
six.
your kind of 80 pitches.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what you want. I mean, that under quote
I don't know
normal
what else could be
circumstances.
more ideal than what he did. I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't, if I
Nothing
see him do it
realistic.
3 or 4 more times, then everything we talked about the last 7 months about where's Corbin Burns and how much money will they need to do that, there's one more thing to say. And I don't know if he's a one, a two, whatever. Good
Right.
enough. Good enough to take the ball every 5 days. Good enough to give you 5, 6 innings to give you a chance to win. Better than Dean Kramer most nights. Maybe not
Sure.
as good as Corbin Burns. Maybe not even as good as Kyle Bradish used to be, but good enough.
Yeah, and I think you look at this through the lens of, look, I don't need to rank them, right? This number one, number two, number three kind of stuff. But if Kyle Bradish can build on what, and when I say build on what he did, even if he can just do what he did on Tuesday night, if he can
Dude, if
do
he
that,
does that 28 times next year, they're a really good baseball
well,
team next year.
and
Well,
you're talking.
hold on. Not if they get a
They
leadoff
have a
double in the eighth
right.
and
They have a lot of work to do.
Mountcastle and Couser and Mayo can't get out of their own way. Right.
They have a lot of work to do. We know that. But if you're looking at this through the lens of what 2026 can look like and how it needs to go well for what they have, you have what Trevor Rogers has done, which again, forget about the number one, number two, number three. He's pitched well enough to say, hey, he can be one of your top three starters, let's say. Not necessarily opening day starter, not necessarily a bona fide ace, but my goodness, he's got a sub two ERA. I mean, at some point in time, we've got to call a spade and say that looks really good. But if you have him, and if you have Kyle Bradish fill or finish out September healthy, and the stuff looks good, and he gets results anywhere close to what he did on Tuesday night, then those two guys right there, that sounds like a good start to the makings of what you want your top half of your starting rotation to be. Now, you need another guy to put right there with them, and ideally it's a guy that is a little bit more of a veteran and takes the ball on opening day, but we're going to have to see what that looks like, right? Is that going to be a trade? Is that going to be a signing? How much money, David Rubenstein talked a good game on set during Saturday's press conference with Basayo in terms of thinking people are going to like what their roster looks like next year. Okay, show us then.
Oh,
That
dude, I
di
heard that ish from
I know.
Angelos
I understand.
forever.
I understand, but he's not Angelos, and we have to, all you can go off of is the present, and what are you going to do now, right? So it's TBD, but my point is, if Kyle Bradish can come back and look like something very close to Kyle Bradish, and he absolutely was that on Tuesday night. Now, how's he feel Wednesday? How's he feel Thursday? How's his side session go? How does his velocity look next time out? All of those questions, all of those boxes need to be checked in the same way that he was doing that the last month, going through his rehab assignment. But if that holds, then I like tr having Kyle Bradish and Trevor Rogers as a jumping off point going into the offseason in terms of, okay, you still need to add one more high impact starter at least, and then to me, and at least another back end of the rotation kind of starter to kind of mix with those two guys and Dean Kramer, and go down the list as far as what they can have. So
Sugano's gone, right? He won't come back, right?
probably, I mean he hasn't been bad. I mean, he's not an ace, he's not a number two. I mean, if
No, but
he's
if
your
he's your Suarez guy and you give him $10 million next year to pitch a year, right?
I mean, it's, I don't think
That's
it's
what it would look like for him, right? If he wants to play over here again, right?
I mean, it's not impossible. I mean, put it this way,
I'm
and I've
just
said,
trying to figure what their options are. In-house,
sure,
out-of-house.
sure,
Out-of-house,
sure.
they'll have money, Mr. Moneybags, and they're gonna and they have young guys they could trade, and like and that's all stupid conjecture. I'm just wondering what they think they have in Suarez, in Povich, in I mean, none of these guys, they've given Povich the ball a lot. He's just not
Yeah,
good
I
enough.
mean,
They give Kramer the ball a lot, and he's good enough some of the time.
I'll continue to say Dean Kramer, if they had five Dean Kramers this year, they, not saying they'd be leading the East or anything like that because of everything else that's gone wrong and all that, but their starting rotation would be in a heck of a lot better shape
Well,
than
he's
it's been
taking the
in.
ball every fifth
He
day. Let's start with that.
he's a
Just
league
being
average
able,
starter. He's a league
league
average
average
starter.
starter, 30
You
starts is
need that.
different than Corbin Burns for 12 games and his arm falls off too.
Sure, no
At any
question.
price, it doesn't matter if you, somebody's got to go out and start the games next year. In a perfect world, you'd want seven or eight of those guys to be the names, not 12 or 15.
Sure. I mean, it's, and we've talked about that. If 2026 is going to be better, no matter how much they do this offseason, they need to stay healthy,
How
and
many
they
guys
need,
have started games this year?
I mean, it's, well, I mean, it's up there.
I mean,
I
that's what I
mean,
was
you've,
going to ask. I mean, like,
sure.
that's a number that, like, I'm looking at and I'm trying to go through the
Is,
names. I
you know
mean,
what?
they had Kyle Gibson here for 5 minutes, too.
They've had a couple guys serve as openers. So Rico Garcia opened the game. Chase McDermott started that
He's a
game. My
starter,
apologies.
yeah.
Although now he's relieving.
Well, you can add Bradish. They added one more
Sure.
Tuesday
But,
night.
looking at it right now, so Bradish started on Tuesday night. Dean Kramer's made 25 starts. Tomoyuki Sugano's made 25 starts. Sugano has a 4.06 ERA. Nestor, if on March 15th, if I had told you what his total numbers are, right? I mean, obviously he had that stretch over this earlier this summer where he had a 5 week period where it was bad.
Yeah,
But other
Corbin
than
Burns
that,
stunk last August too, you know? So like, right?
but my point is, if I told you Sugano would have a 4.06 ERA, I think you would have taken that and said, that's fine. He's
If
been
you would have told
fine.
me he made 25 starts, we're sitting here Labor Day week, 25 starts with a 4 ERA, I would say, is that what Kramer did? And you'd say probably yes. Kramer's
Sure.
at four,
And
right?
you'd say, okay, those two guys probably, they did their job. And the problem has been everything else, right? I mean, Eflin not staying healthy, Grayson Rodriguez not throwing a pitch this year, Charlie Morton being terrible the first 5 weeks to the point where there was no redeeming it statistically, even though they were able to trade him then and all that. But the point is, it's been a lot, and so much of it has been bad. And yeah, just to go through, Kramer, 25 starts, Sugano, 25 starts, Morton, 17 starts. Morton took the ball. I mean, it wasn't always what you wanted to see, but Povich, 15 starts. He was on the IL. Eflin, 14 starts. Rogers, 13 starts, right? I mean, Rogers has been, he's got a 1.4 ERA. I mean, Rogers is going to get down ballot votes for Cy Young the way it's going. I mean, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying top three or top four, but,
He's been among the 10 best pitchers.
he's been
He's been
great.
among the five best
He's been
pitchers in
great.
baseball the last 3 months. This
Yeah.
is where we get into, will Colton Cowser hit 320 in September or
Yeah.
continue to hit 180? Like,
Right.
how you finish this race as this is a mile and three quarters. This isn't a 6 furlong. So, like wherever it is that they sit in October, I'm not going to judge Kyle Bradish on having a busted up arm. If he goes out and has three more starts like he did on Tuesday night, I'll look at it and say, all right, rest him up, ice him down, keep him
He's one of
healthy.
your five. Yeah.
He's let's get him back in March and or February and we'll be ready to go. Like, I don't know what all of that is, but we are at the point. It's the first time I've asked you about any of this. First time I've like even looked at team statistics in a couple of weeks since maybe the All-Star break
Sure.
to say who's done what on the back of the bubblegum card. I should tell you this because we're doing baseball here. Colts reunions happening. And I know the 1975 Colts aren't sexy to you, but to a young man like myself,
That's
they're my
awesome.
first love, right? So I went through all my old tickets looking for my, because I'm having some 75 guests on, and I know I want to see this. I could only find one of the tickets. I found the Jets ticket from November. They won 52-19, birth through six that day. So Lydell, the whole deal, right? So I'm looking through tickets and I found old Oriole tickets. And I was looking through the old Oriole tickets from 75, 6, 7, 8, 9, and I'm seeing what games we had. Dude, my parents got the Chesapeake Cadillac box seats against the Oakland A's, Vita Blue, Blue Moon Odom, Palmer, and Reggie in 76, too. I was looking at lineups and stuff like that. So I'm looking back at all of this sort of old minutia, but the one thing I saw is, how many games did Doyle Alexander start that year? Roerich Harrison started for the other team. So I'm looking at all the starting pitchers, and it just
40.
stands out to you when you see Jim Palmer in
40 starts.
a
Yeah, I
lousy
mean.
year in 75. My dad was calling him candy ass back then. I won't tell him that if I ever have lunch with him. But this is 50 years ago now. I go back and say, well, you know, somebody only started 14 games that year. They must have just called McGregor up, or where was Denny Martinez? Or, you know, I had forgotten that, you know, like certain pitchers had even pitched here, Rudy May. You know, so I looked through all of that, and we're at the point where we have a really meaty piece of what their pitching has looked like this year. That if you come in and I had been dead the last 5 months and just looked at it, I'd say, you know, I'd look at some of these pitchers and I'd be like, oh, the Morton thing didn't work out real well. But the
I see why
Sagana
they're in
thing,
last place. Yeah,
yeah,
I
but
mean,
of all the things that worked out, the Japanese pitcher who's, you know, my age,
yeah.
your age, has been okay. And again, to your point, if it's not him, who are they going to sign next year? Who we're going to look at Labor Day and say, made 25 starts, pitched to a 4 ERA, have made 25 starts, pitched to a 4 ERA, made 25 starts and pitched to a 2.7 ERA. I hope that's Bradish. Made, you know, 26 starts and pitched to a, I'm trying to be nice here, 2.8 ERA, Rogers. You know, if you got something, if you got sub threes out of those two guys, you're going to guarantee me a year from right now, we're going to talk about that. And you could fill the rest of the rotation out with something that's not Charlie Morton or Kyle Gibson.
I mean, I to
This is where
me,
we stop, and then you start bitching about them not hitting the ball,
well,
right?
I
I mean, because
mean,
that really, that's the story of the year, is that they haven't hit the ball at all, anywhere, and they moved the fence in.
I mean that's a big part of the story. I mean, obviously the injuries, obviously the pitching hasn't been good enough, right? I mean, we know that. I mean, we've been talking about, we were talking about that before the season started, right? So that to me wasn't the surprising part, but the most relevant part of this moving forward is absolutely their offense being as underwhelming as it's been, right? Where you say, okay, and let me be clear. If you go back and look at what Gunnar Henderson's stats have been since second week of June, something like that, the last 2 months, he's been really good. Now, he hasn't hit the long ball to the degree that he did last year, but the numbers look really good overall. And we talked about this, the rib cage in spring training. How much does that zap you of your
I'd
power?
like to think they're going to have a healthier version of a
I'm not
lot of
worried.
these guys
Right.
next year, and that's going to be
But my.
mandatory. Because if they're all going to go on the IL and they're all going to get
Oh,
hurt and
of
they're all going to
course. I
have
mean,
this, and Rutschman's going to stink,
that's why I
and
want to look at
Bisaccia's going to
their.
follow along in that pathway by being hurt, banged up, you know, whatever it is. It is a lot. It's a
That's.
grueling thing. You're in the middle of it. You've had a press pass the last 20 years. I haven't, but that's the first thing that hit me as a young man covering baseball, getting to know Brady Anderson and Mike Mussina and Ben McDonald, is just how fatiguing it is this time of the year when
Is
Cal Raleigh slows down his home run stroke because, like, he's a catcher and he's
he
falling
still
apart.
hit and he still hits 50 home runs. I mean, what a story that's been.
But he hit 40
But
in the first half. That's a, in 80.
right, but yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I was in Owings Mills for Ravens practice on Tuesday. I got to the ballpark early, and what do you see? You see Jordan Westberg and Adley Rutschman out on the field with the strength coach going through some rehab stuff. I mean, that's look. One of the big things they need to look at this offseason, and it's not going to be a big thing in terms of garnering any headlines, but they've got to look at their strength and conditioning. Now, keeping pitchers healthy, good luck with that, right? I mean, that is an industry-wide crisis, right? That's why, to your point, You do need volume. That's why, no, you can't just look at it in terms of, hey, we've got Bradish back and Trevor Rogers is awesome. We're good. No, they need another guy to go with those guys in terms of what you think of as, forget about one, two, three, let's just say top half of the rotation, right? Someone to put with them, at least one guy to put with them. And to me, you're going to need at least one veteran guy to at least put into the back half of the rotation conversation, right? And that's assuming, hey, the guys that you have are healthy, and so you have all that, but the injuries, strength and conditioning, the hamstring injuries they've had, the oblique injuries. I mean, Adley Rutschman's had an oblique strain on both sides now. What is going on with their strength and conditioning? What is missing? What is, is it just strictly bad luck? I'm apt to say no, that there are some gaps or something needs to change or be tweaked on that front, because they've just had a ton of that stuff. I mean, think about how the hamstring injuries they've had, Nestor, where, look, hamstring injuries are a part of the game, right? I mean, we're going to see Ravens players that are going to have some hamstring injuries as we get into the season and miss a couple games. But they not only have they had so many hamstring injuries, they've had hamstring injuries where guys missed 2 months. I mean, Ryan Mountcastle missed 2 months with a hamstring injury, right? I mean, these aren't 10-day, 2-week variety hamstrings. These have been moderate to major hamstring injuries that they've had. So that shouldn't be happening as frequently as it is. And that tells me that either your guys are not as fully in shape as they need to be, there's something in your strength and conditioning that has been overlooked or not emphasized enough, right? I mean, and let me be clear, I'm not expecting Mike Elias to come out in great detail about fixing that necessarily, but internally, that has to be a part of this, because I don't care how good your roster looks, unless maybe you're the Dodgers and you spend more money than anyone, you're not going to survive that many injuries in a given year, right? I mean, you're going to be in a lot of trouble, and that's where the Orioles found themselves, right? You go back and look at this season. When was this season truly lost? It was how they played in late April through the 3rd week of May, right? And Hyde was canned in the midst of that 4-week stretch. But I think it was, I don't have it in
If
front of
they
me,
had
but
hit the ball a little bit, it would have saved his
I
job.
mean, sure, but they had a third, I'm pretty sure that it was a 30 game stretch. I don't have it right in front of me. I have it in my notebook that's in my book bag across the table right now. I believe they went 7-23 over a 30 game stretch. There's your season right there. If you, and obviously you can't do this, but you take that, just take that out. Not saying that you flip the record or anything like that. Just take that out. This is a team that's played well enough that they would at least mathematically still be in the wild card race, right? I'm not saying they'd be a favorite. I'm not saying that they wouldn't have other issues. I'm not saying there wouldn't be other weaknesses about this club, but this season was trashed and in the toilet because of how they played from late April through the 3rd week of May. And go back and look at who they were missing during that period of time. Colton Cowser, Jordan Westberg, right? The pitching that they were missing at that point in time. I mean, so I'm not to say that that's not to say that all was well, because, well, you just throw that, no, that happened. That's part of it. But the health was such a major piece of this. So, to bring it back to what we were talking about with the pitching, yeah, you need numbers, right? You need to have eight or nine guys that, look, aren't all going to be, oh, that's a number three starter, right? I mean, no team has that much depth, but you need to have a starting five that you feel really, really good about, and then at least a few other guys that you say, hey, if he has to make 10 starts, we feel pretty good about him. If he has to make eight starts, we feel pretty good about him. If this guy, who, isn't the most proven, but we like how his stuff profiles, if he has to make six starts at some point, because we know that we're not going to have five starters that all make 32 starts, then we can live with that. I mean, the Orioles, we talked about this. I mean, they kind of built their rotation backwards, right? I mean, they tried to load up on a ton of back half of the rotation guys, and it wasn't good enough. And a big part of that was, I mean, Zach Eflin didn't stay healthy, and Grayson Rodriguez didn't throw a single pitch all season, right? So you obviously can't repeat that. And
Well, I can look. There's probably a piece we could go back where you and me in March said, put the innings in, like we're doing right now. Because that's what you do when you've been watching baseball since Rudy May was doing this and Grant Jackson was in the bullpen. You're like, where are the innings coming from? I know how many games you're going to play. I can do 162 times nine. And especially when you don't have to do 14 and 15 inning games anymore, right? I mean, they might as well start playing softball games in the doubleheaders, play 7 inning games, right?
They
Like,
did that during COVID, remember?
I'm aware. I'm aware. And putting the guy on second base and all of that, a lot of that is shortened up what they need from pitching, which is what blows Palmer's mind, throwing 300 innings in a year and saying, look, how many innings do we have here? How many 34 pitchers are we going to need this year to get 16 innings out of this and 15 innings out of that? You know what I mean? But if we would have done this at the beginning of the year, Grayson Rodriguez, and I know I can go back to the tapes. You can go back and find this. Grayson Rodriguez was going to be in for 26 starts and, a 3 ERA, 3-2, right? I mean, that's what you wanted out of him. You hope for a 2-6. You pray against a 4-3,
You
right?
hope
I
it's
mean,
30 starts, but yeah, I mean, look, and we talked about this, and I think we
he's
even
going to
talked.
make none next year, right?
I mean, that it's TBD. I mean, his timetable for the surgery that he had. I mean, he had a bone spur removed from his elbow. He should be ready for spring training. That said, what's it going to look like?
Well, I ain't
And
buying any of
no,
that, right? I mean,
of
there's no
course. Well.
conversation you and I are going to have before April 1st where I'm going to say, Grayson Rodriguez, I'm going to give him innings. In the same way, I refuse to give Bradish.
Well,
I'll give it to him today,
you have to talk about him because if he's healthy and throwing in spring training, he's one of the five.
but I
I
didn't
mean,
want to hear Bradish was going to come back and
oh,
rescue them
sure,
in
that's fine.
August in May if they had been a good team.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
I don't want to hear about maybes. And especially now that
Well, that's
Batista's
why.
down again. We've watched Means go down. We've seen Bradish go down twice. I don't, and now Rodriguez never came.
Right.
So
Well,
there is a point with these pitchers. I think like Jim Palmer, you think probably more like Storm Davis, but I would say that era is over with, but I still have to sit here and say in March, if you and I are going to talk about this baseball team, where are the innings coming from? And right now, for a minute, let's all breathe. Kyle Bradish is good for 25 starts next year and should be pretty
you
good.
hope.
We think Rogers is good for 25 starts and pretty good. Hopefully 31 starts, right? I
Hopefully
mean,
32, right?
but I'll give you 10 days out with dead arm and a stiff
Sure.
period this and that 15 day
Weeks,
that and I
tweaks a hamstring,
something
whatever.
happens and I slept the wrong way, whatever it is, right? Had to skip a start. Tendinitis, whatever it happens to be. But I'm just trying to get to where they have four guys that can give them 25 starts and then figure the rest of it out.
And I think you throw Kramer in there. Now, I'd like Kramer to be at best my fourth best starter, right? I'd like him to be my number five, right? I'd like a scenario where you have enough pitching pop that Dean Kramer becomes your long reliever, right? But you also have to be practical and realistic and understand one, until Mike Elias and this ownership group goes out and spends that kind of money to go get that volume of pitching. It's I don't want to say it's a pipe dream because they'll go get pitching, but what exactly is it going to be? But I will also say there is no planning for what happened with Grayson Rodriguez this past year, right? This team could have re-signed Corbin Burns, and you know what? Their trajectory would have been very similar to what it ended up being, right? I mean, okay, maybe April or May would have been a little bit better. Corbin Burns hasn't thrown a pitch for Arizona since what, May? Or what, early June, whatever it was. But the point is with Rodriguez, they certainly miscalculated in saying he's going to be our ace. He's going to replace Corbin Burns. I mean, we were disagreeing with that mindset in February before they even got to spring training. However, you can't plan for a guy not to throw any pitches, right? I mean, so Grayson Rodriguez not throwing a pitch was catastrophic. Zach Eflin only making 14 starts. That's catastrophic for you, right? So they are going to have to go into this, and there has to be some projecting of what you're going to expect from guys. Now, as I said, I love Kyle Bradish. Kyle Bradish, when he's healthy, he is absolutely an ace. Not in the way that you think of an ace that someone that's been done it for 8 or 9 or 10 years, right? But in terms of just what it looked like on Tuesday night, Tony Mancelino made the comment that he was talking to a couple of the other coaches in the dugout as Bradish was just warming up. He said, "That looks a little different, doesn't it?" I mean, even, I mean, Dean Kramer, I mean, he's not a high strikeout guy. Sagano hasn't struck out anybody this year, right? I mean, Zach Eflin's not a big strikeout guy, even when he's right. Trevor Rogers, as phenomenal as he's been, he's not a guy that is going out there and striking out 10 or 11 every start. He's been much more, command and first pitch strikes and getting ahead and not walking people. He'll strike some people out. I'm not trying to be dismissive of what he's done, but Bradish at his best is what we saw on Tuesday night. He strikes out 10 in 6 innings, right? I mean, that's Scooble kind of stuff. That's Garrett Crochet kind of stuff right there. So how many starts can he give you next year? TBD, right? I mean, for me right now, it's how does he feel Wednesday afternoon when he gets to the ballpark? How does he feel on what, Thursday or Friday when he throws his next bullpen? What does the velocity look like his next time out when he's on the road pitching? Right? I mean, and that's not to say that it's going to be perfect, but stay healthy, right? Get through September, make every start that the Orioles want you to make in September, and go into the offseason with a normal offseason, right? Where he can rest, to start out the winter and then start ramping up in January. That's what most of these guys end up doing. And then feel good, pain free. I mean, keep in mind again, he was terrific with his elbow being in the state
Well,
it
it's one of
was
those things you
last
can't
year.
wait to see him pitch again. Now,
Right.
you'll circle this weekend. It's when
No
he's
doubt.
pitching again.
Kyle Bradish Day. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
like
no
let's
question.
keep an eye on him because he's the chance to win next year. Like
Yeah. I mean,
they have
like
to
I,
have that. They have to have
they
somebody
need.
take the ball and pitch. And then the hitting, you
Oh,
and
I
I are going
mean,
to spend
we
6 months
can.
trying to figure out what's wrong with Adley Rutschman, whether Bisaio is going to live up to the big number
We're
now,
going to
which
need
isn't even
another
a big
bat.
number, but.
I mean, and we'll save this for another conversation because we don't want to make this too long. But I'll continue to say this. They need another legitimate bat this winter. And I don't know what that's going to look like exactly.
It ain't Tyler O'Neill, dog.
Sure. And that's not, Tyler O'Neill. Hey, if he's healthy, then fine. He put him in the lineup. But I'm not holding my breath waiting for that to happen more than 100 times next year, maybe best case scenario, right? But they need another legitimate bat. There's no question about that.
Well, this is
And
where the awakening of Mayo, the awakening of Holiday, as
I want to see
when
it.
Jackson Holiday becomes George Brett or Joe Morgan, when Gunnar Henderson legitimately can be Alex Rodriguez and like put those numbers up at shortstop, when Kobe Mayo can at least do what Ryan Mountcastle did on his best day at first base or Santander. But you're talking about Santander numbers. And dude, did we take that guy for granted like we took Nelson Cruz for granted? Like we took pre-ADD Chris Davis, right? Like, dude that can hit 290 and hit 38 home runs and drive in 120 runs, that's just not that Eddie Murray stuff's not normal.
No.
And when you let a Santander go or let him age out or let him contract out or don't give him $100 million, I don't know how you replace that, and you get desperate looking for Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are going to be bats out there, especially if, whether they're willing to spend money or if they're willing to make a trade, right? I mean, there are bats that can be. I mean, by the way, have you seen what Ramon Laureano's done for the Padres? He's been their best player. Now, of course, they have Machado. Of course, they have Tatis, right? I mean, he's not their best player overall, but over the last month, he's probably been their hottest hitter. I mean, he's been fantastic for them. He's hitting .330 for them. He has 1,000 OPS for the Padres right now. I mean, he's hit six home runs. He had a grand slam on Tuesday night. We're gonna be looking at that
You know what Buck would
because
say?
they could have
Pile
had him.
diver. I need
They
some
could have
pile
had him.
divers, you know?
They could have had him next year. So we're going to be looking at that. And look, that's not to say that the trade that they made with the Padres and the pitching prospect that they got, who Boston Bateman, who's now one of their best prospects in their system, but is not going to be pitching for them next year. But we're going to look at that because it's one thing to talk about the rentals, but Ramon Laureano could have been
I'm
on this
looking to
team
see if
next
Mike
year.
Elias is going to be running the team in 40 days. Because I think he is, but
All
that's the
signs
most
point to,
important thing.
yeah,
Who's going to run the
sure.
place? Who's going to manage the place? Who's going to pick the donuts? Who's going to pick the ingredients?
I mean, all signs are pointing to that. I
It's
haven't
always
heard.
abrupt when they fire a general manager.
Yeah, I mean that is a little bit different than the manager, right? Because the
He's
manager,
the
I mean
guy.
you could see it on Brandon Hyde's face. I mean, I don't think I texted you the night before Hyde was let go, but the body language, the tone, remember, that was that terrible game against the Nationals
It
where
was the Friday
they
night.
kicked the ball around and like it was such a winnable game and they didn't win it. And it's like, how did you not win this game? And let me be clear, I wasn't planning and anticipating the axe to fall that next day because for one, I was planning for getting ready to go to my niece's birthday party, but it felt like the end was near. Like it felt like this might happen in the next week. Like that's how bad it felt. General manager, I don't know if there's ever, because the general manager's now isn't front facing in on a daily basis like a manager is. But yeah, but all signs are pointing to that, right? I mean, and I'm not even saying whether it's right or wrong or what they should or shouldn't do. I think that's what's going to be the reality of it. So what are you going to do? They absolutely look. I love that Dillon Beavers is here. I love what Dillon Beavers has done in this early, this small sample size. I like what Jeremiah Jackson has done in his opportunities. He to me looks like he could be a nice bench piece for you next year. I want to see him play a little bit more infield because they've thrown him out in the outfield. It's like, hey, learn how to play right field, and he's an infielder by trade.
Well, it just goes to show how little regard they actually have for what's really happening on the field at this
Oh,
point, because
right. I
it's
mean.
tryouts at this point.
It is. I mean, but that's why what Kyle Bradish did on Tuesday night was so meaningful. It wasn't about, oh, well, hey, the Orioles can win a few more games in September. I don't care about that.
Also beating teams that are trying to win.
Sure. I mean, you want to be competitive in that regard, but this is all about projecting out for next season. And Kyle Bradish was a great sign of that. But yeah, their offense. I mean, you made mention of you'd like Gunnar Henderson's numbers to look more like Alex Rodriguez, and noted, right? I mean, I understand the point you're making there. Heck, I'd take a few more of these guys looking anything close to what Gunnar Henderson has it been even in a down year. I'd take that from two or three of these other
Hit
guys,
some
right? I mean,
doubles for crying out loud. Draw a walk. Have a good at bat.
I don't want to pick on him because he's still in his age
Hit the
21
ball. Don't
season.
strike out.
I don't want to pick on him because he's still in his age 21 season, and I still project good things for him moving forward, but Jackson Holliday's really fallen off here over the latter portion of the
Well, he's
summer. I
a
mean,
21-year-old kid
he's wearing
playing.
down.
What's he,
Yeah.
115 games in? How many games has he played?
He's played 123. He's played all but what? They played 132 games. He's at 120, and you know why? Very early in the season, they were still resting him against left-handed starters, remember? That's why. He's been an everyday player since about mid-May, right? I mean, he's played all but he got a few days ago, he got
Well,
the
and
day
they're
off.
riding him like a horse.
But
Guys get tired.
that's also part of the maturation process, though, for a young ball player. Like it's a 162 game season. No, you don't need to be Cal Ripken and play every single inning of
Yeah,
every
why don't
single
you hit
game.
320 in September and we'll all talk, say good things about you in the offseason.
But you've got to post up and I need you to play 150. I mean, look, if that burden's too great, then you shouldn't have been 1-1, right? I mean, it's that simple. So and TBD, right? I mean, Adley Rutschman is looking like a disappointing 1-1 at this point in time. Certainly not a, you know, I 6 years later, it's obvious they should have drafted Bobby Witt, right? I mean, and there were some people who thought that at the time, but
But what would happen to
sure, right. I mean, there's and
Gunner?
you never know what changes whenever that
They could
happens.
have
You never,
traded him for Scooble.
yeah, who knows, right? So, but you just look at this and, Kyle Bradish looking like the way he did on Tuesday night, that was great. I mean, that was outstanding. There couldn't have been better there. If you have him and Trevor Rogers, understanding Trevor Rogers isn't going to continue with a 1.4, but let's say Trevor Rogers next year can be a 3 ERA pitcher. I mean, that's still number two, number three kind of stuff right there. If you have those two guys and you can pencil in those two guys for 25 plus starts, to your point, something's going to happen, right? I mean, someone gets skipped, a little bit of fatigue, whatever. If you can do that, and then Dean Kramer d does what Dean Kramer does, which is, you always talk about replacing it, but he posts up for you. He gives you innings. He's league average, which even the best teams in baseball, When you're talking about playoff rotations, your number four and your number five are league average type guys, right? I mean, that's kind of how it works. So there's three. All right. What else are you going to do? Who else is going to be in that conversation? That's not to say that Cade Povich won't go to spring training, with them giving him a look, but he better not be one of your projected top four or five, right? I mean, that's not what we're looking for here. You want him to be your long man out of the bullpen, or your number six or number seven or number eight starter, right? So, and go down the list of the other guys they have as well. I mean, maybe they will re-sign Sagano. I don't know. I'll be 36. I'd like them to aim higher than that, right? But certainly they need to sign at least one other starting pitcher that's markedly better than him. So we'll see. They've got a lot of work to do. But Kyle Bradish, that looked like Kyle Bradish on Tuesday night. And, we never truly 100% unequivocally said that about Felix Batista. We never said that about John Means when he came back. And that's the other part of this. They need this to be right. They need Kyle Bradish to be right, right? Tommy John's not a death sentence. It stinks. You hate it because a pitcher misses a year plus, but the return rate's really high.
Give it to me if I can go six and strike out 10 on Tuesday
They
night.
need this to be the one that is pretty seamless. They need this to be Kyle Bradish comes back and is Kyle Bradish. And Tuesday night was a great first step in that happening, but obviously a long way to go. And hopefully he's feeling good here. And to your point, looking forward to seeing him pitch again in 5 days.
Is that good news out of Birdland? Did we just do a good news
Yeah.
segment from a last place team? Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. We're going to get after the Ravens as well here this week as we get up really ready for Buffalo. We got Labor Day happening around here. We are really proud of our new sponsorship with GBMC. I'm going to be doing a whole lot of not just men's health issues, but just health issues in a general sense. They have corralled me. I've had three people shame me about the colonoscopy thing this week. You can be the fourth, Luke, now that you're over 40. So you can beat me up a little bit. I will be getting all of that done. Not next week, but maybe the week after Buffalo. I'm making my appointments. I'm trying to be a good doobie around here. My thanks to Coppin State for sponsoring us as well as we now enter a school season, a Labor Day. It is a big, big football season ahead. I know we just did baseball around here. We won't be doing so much of that in the offseason. It will be all things Buffalo and go time next week. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.